Take your Bibles this morning and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at two scriptures today. First of all, chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 5 through 7. Paul, writing to a young pastor, Timothy, he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into a flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Then turning over to chapter 3 also, verses 14 and 15. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Congregation of Christ, one of the things that you often hear parents or grandparents say about their children or grandchildren is this. They say something to the effect that they would like to have their children have things even better in their lives than what they have been for them. And certainly that is a commendable desire, certainly something that I think is fitting to pray about as well. Unfortunately, for a lot of folks, when they make statements like that, they're often thinking about these things in a material way. They're talking about people who are coming after them having better homes, better cars, better positions, better possessions of every kind. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, and certainly we can pray for God to bless us with material things. But ultimately, what we want to see most of all is we want to see our children and grandchildren have an even stronger commitment and a more diligent following after Jesus Christ than what even we ourselves have done. And you realize, of course, that every generation of those who attend churches there's only one generation, really, that separates from the church totally abandoning the scriptures and going after the things that are totally false. And so we need to realize that every generation has to carry the torch forward. If they don't, we're certainly looking at a dangerous and disastrous thing. You can see many nations of the world that did this. Nations that once were very solid in their commitment to the things of Christ. Later on, as entire nations, they turned away from the Word of God, and today they have become rather secular in their outlook. Well, we don't want to see that happen in our own country, and we don't want to see it in our communities or in our homes as well. And so we want to remind ourselves again of how important the home really is and the importance of homes, wanting to have eternity's values placed in our minds constantly. You know, the best way to learn things is by repetition. And I am making that case this morning again. I know that the story of Eunice and Lois have been preached on for Mother's Days for many, many years in many different churches. And some of you have probably heard more sermons on these two ladies than you can remember. Maybe about every other Mother's Day you hear one. Well, the important thing to remember, though, that some of the best lessons in life are learned by repetition. And if you don't think so, you just go back to your school years and just ask yourself this question. You know, how much is 3 times 3? Anybody know? Nine. See how quick that came? Why? Repetition. You learn the multiplication tables and you learn them again and again and again. If I said to you, okay, how much is 17 times 17? Now, in all the years I've just thrown that out for the fun of it, only one person's ever said that's 289. It was a math whiz, a math teacher, actually. And that's great, too, that they knew it. But you know what? There are some things that you know by repetition. There are some things that you don't. But repetition can be a good thing. People have said repetition is the mother of all learning. And certainly we want to keep that in mind as we look at the story today of these two ladies as well. Mothers, of course, mothers of faith, have helped to change the course of human history. All we have to do is go back to the scriptures and we can see this very plainly. Think about the mother of Moses and how she worked so hard to spare the life of her son, even when it was demanded by law that male children be put to death. Can you imagine a nation ever getting to such a tragic point that they would say that it is the appropriate thing to do to kill unborn children? Can you imagine that? And yet that's often what happens. And you see, here is his mother doing everything she can to save his life and protect him. And of course, even a sister helped in that too, if you remember the whole story. By the way, if you're wondering, her name is Jochebed. And anyway, she was a very wonderful woman. The very future of the nation of Israel came about because of what she did in saving the life of her infant child, this individual that we know as Moses. You think, too, about another great man of God that lived in history. His name was Samuel, and yet, it's interesting, though we know about Samuel, and we've got two books in the Old Testament that are written with a title Samuel on them, we need to realize that it was long before this that Samuel's mother was in prayer that she might have a child. And that when the child came, she had already committed in her heart that she would devote that child to the Lord, and that she would pray that God might use him in some significant way. And if you know anything about the story of Samuel, you remember that he appears on the scene just as the period of the judges in the Old Testament are closing down and the period of Israel's kingship is about to take place. But things are a real mess there. If you remember how things were in the days of the judges, each man did what was right in his own eyes, and it was a terrible time. And now the people cry out and said, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the world. We don't want to be under the authority of God. We want a king just like the other nations. And yet the one man who helped them as a country through this whole situation, at least for a while, as long as he was with them, the one man who kept the gospel light shining clearly, it was Samuel. But how did that happen? It all happened because of that godly woman, Hannah, who had taken great time in prayer and had dedicated her son to the Lord and had trained him diligently in the early years. And there was a strong commitment there that blessed the entire nation just because of the home that he had come from. Of course, there are much more current names we could mention too. I mentioned the name of John and Charles Wesley. And we are going to mention them a little later on in our message today, but I just want you to realize that here are two men that are responsible for doing an amazing thing in spreading the gospel of Christianity across our land and in many parts of the world. And you know, you say, well, you're highlighting these men. Yes, but I want you to realize that they came from a home of a very, very great and godly mother. Okay? And she worked with her boys. She trained her boys. She taught her boys the scriptures. And you know, when you stop and think about it, if you come to almost any town of any size here in Michigan, if you come into one of those communities, you look around and what do you see? Usually in the center of the town, there's a Methodist church somewhere. How did that all happen? A couple of brothers worked hard, preached hard, wrote great hymns and songs that we sing even to this day. It is all a part of the home in which they were brought up. So we see that mothers have done great service for the people of God in many instances and for entire countries and so forth. I believe this is also true of these two women that are under discussion today, the woman Eunice and the mother Lois. And I want you to realize, first of all, that this is something that is a matter of personal salvation. Mothers are very influential in helping to bring children and grandchildren to the knowledge of salvation. I'm not suggesting that this will happen every time, but I want to tell you that the Bible promise is still there, that when children are raised in the fear of the Lord, that the possibilities of them growing up to become children of God and living for God is very, very great. And we look at this story here and we see the same thing happening. We see that here faith comes to one and she passes it on to her daughter. And then the daughter has a son whose name is Timothy. But yet, as you think about this, we see that he learns even from infancy about the things of God. You know, people say that when a child is in utero, that even then they can recognize their mother's own voice. And that things that are said and things that are sung and things that are read and are heard by a child even before they're born can begin to be making an impact. You say, well, they don't certainly understand all of that, do they? You don't have to understand everything to get things starting to lock into your mind and into your brain. And you know, that's something that's wonderful to see, that this is what happened. Three generations here. We see that. We see Eunice and Lois and we see Timothy. We're talking about three different generations here. How does this happen? How does somebody come to be able to pass this faith along? And of course, it's always the same thing. People need to realize, first of all, as they grow up, what is right and wrong, what is sin and what is not. And they need to realize, too, that they, too, are sinners. And sometimes, you know, we see these little babies come along and we hold them in our arms and we say, oh, isn't that beautiful? Look, we have a new baby boy or a new baby girl. Isn't that wonderful? But we need to realize that even there, the Bible says that we are conceived and born in sin, and that we come into this world having a nature that is designed to go against the things of God because of Adam's fall. And yet, knowing that as we do, we still know that by talking to people and teaching people about their sin and about their need of a Savior, teaching them too about the fact of grace and what grace does in saving people, that we cannot be saved by our own works or by our own efforts, but by the grace of God, God offers to us the free gift of salvation, and it's there for anyone who believes in Christ and receives Him. The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God. You don't become a child of God just because you're born into a certain place or into a certain home. No, you become a child of God as you are taught the things of God, and as they too are those who come to receive in Jesus Christ. That's how people become the children of God. And the Bible makes that very clear. But you know, these ladies had a very difficult circumstance because, as you know, the father in this case was not of the same mind that these two women were. We know that though both of them were Jewish in background and both believers, we know that the husband who came into their life was a Greek, according to Acts 16, and we have no mention of him at all of being a believer. And we don't know if he was or he wasn't. But we do know that certainly it appears from what Paul does say in the two scriptures that we read that the principal training of this young man, Timothy, happened because of a godly mother. They were the ones that helped from childhood, from infancy, to instruct him in the things of God. What an amazing benefit this was for him to have. And you know, this was true even as we see this taking place, because the Apostle Paul says that Timothy grew up to have what? A sincere faith. Where do you think he acquired that? Well, you say, faith is a gift of God. I know that. But you know, God works through human means too. God uses even human beings to help to move people along to faith. And godly women like Eunice and Lois were helpful in this whole process. It's a very important thing. Eunice saw Christ in her mother and believed. And the question always is, are women today who are mothers doing that same thing? Are they doing everything they can to expose their children to the Christian teachings of the Word of God? To point them not to just teaching, but even to Jesus Christ himself. That's what makes all the difference. Friends, we need to realize that without Jesus Christ, people are not saved. I know people are out there spouting all kinds of false doctrine these days, saying that people can get to heaven no matter what you believe. It is not so. The Bible is very clear that apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. The Bible says that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the only way. And yet, the good news is that we have an opportunity to share this message. It is not just a responsibility, it is also a great privilege to be able to share these things. And you know, as we look on this too, again, I just remind you, start early. Because the things that are learned very early in life are the things that get locked into your head. You know, you probably haven't been walking around rehearsing your math tables like you did this morning on any regular basis now. But why do you know them so well? Because very early in your life they were brought in and you learned them. They became part of who you are. And certainly much more so the things of the gospel are the same way. A mother's faith may bring salvation, but it may also do something else. A mother's faith must be steadfast. You notice Paul doesn't just say, remember what you were taught. He says also, remember from whom you learned these things. In other words, there was something about the example of these women that helped to make a major impact on Timothy's life. You notice that right from the beginning, they gave him a name that reflected their hopes for him. They named him Timothy. And Timothy means honoring to God. What a great name. I like to joke about that sometimes. We have a son by that name too, Timothy. Timothy Paul. And you know, both of those were people who taught the Bible. Timothy did. Paul did. Timothy Paul. I always told people, I don't care, you know, where he preaches. He's free to preach anywhere he wants, just hoping that the Lord will call him into some kind of ministry. And you know, that's something that we leave to the Lord. It's his choice. It's his direction. But still, we want kids to grow up that are honoring to God, that are ready to know the Word of God and to pass it along to the next generation. That's the greatest blessing that any parent could ever have, then, is having kids that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and then are willing to share it to other people. You say, well, you know, not everybody likes it when you do that stuff. You know what? Would you rather see people perish apart from having salvation in Jesus Christ? The greatest privilege you can do is to encourage people to come to know the truth about eternal life. Don't you want everyone to be there in heaven someday? I know I can't do anything to make that happen. Except what? I can share the gospel. That's our responsibility. We'll leave the rest to the Lord. But you know what? We do have a responsibility to do our part. And certainly that's what these women did as well. You notice too that they demonstrated their faith in their life. I quoted here a little quote that my wife says her mother shared all the time. Isn't that something? Connie remembers one of the lines that her mother mentioned many times, and she no doubt learned it from someone else, but still, it's a great line. Children more attention pay to what you do than what you say. And that's talking about what? It's talking about modeling the truth. When people model things, you learn them. You know, people talk about the fact that, you know, some of us and my friends, we play guitars. Where did we learn to play the guitar? I only had 1.5 years of lessons, and that was later on after I already had a guitar for a long time. Where did I really learn how to play it? I bought an old chord book that had chords in it, but you know what? A lot of what I learned and a lot of the songs that I learned and everything, I learned by sitting down in jam sessions and watching other people play, doing what they did. I learned from their model, from their example. The Greek word for modeling is the word mimetai, which comes to our word mimic. We learn things by mimicking what we see others do. Well, if you can learn a guitar that way, you can certainly learn important biblical truth that way too, especially as you see people living it out in their daily lives. They did what they could by way of prayer, by way of example, by way of teaching the sacred things, the scriptures that are mentioned there in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. They didn't have the formal training like Paul did. Paul had a hand in Timothy's life too. And Paul, of course, had studied deeply. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, the great teacher of Israel. But you know what? Paul, when he encourages Timothy to keep on keeping on with the faith and staying steadfast and sincere, he doesn't say, now, follow me like you have seen me follow Gamaliel or all the things I learned and I taught with you. No, he says, remember from whom you have learned it and how from childhood. Paul wasn't in Timothy's life in childhood. It was these two women who maybe without the aid of a Christian husband still taught him everything that was necessary to learn. And, you know, maybe you're at a point now where your children are grown up, and for some of you, they might even live in another state or another area, and you don't see children or grandchildren that often, but you know what? You can keep praying for them all the time. And you can still take every opportunity you have, even if you don't have your own children living in your home, yet you still see some of these loved ones, these grandkids come along. And, you know, we are so happy when we have opportunities to do that. One of the greatest blessings I think that the Lord ever gave us in our life is the fact that we have grandkids now that a couple of them live right here in Michigan. I mean, 50 miles away, and we can see them. I mean, we spent, you know, a wonderful day yesterday with Daniel and Gracie, and how great that is. You say, yes, but you think it makes any difference if you teach all that stuff? Let me tell you something that happened once that maybe will make the point. Daniel was out here the other day, and he was playing on the kids' swing set, okay? And there's an area out there where they can climb to get into that area where they can walk across and then take the sliding board down. But there's two ways you can get up there. There are little steps that you can take to walk up there, or you can use the rope and the climbing wall. All right. Here's Daniel walking over to the climbing wall. And I was watching him do this, and he went up once, and he went up twice. But I noticed that every time that he was going up, he would stop halfway. He wasn't frightened. He wasn't afraid. He'd stop for a moment, and then he would continue the rest of the way. Finally, after watching him do this about 5 times or so, I said to him, what is that all about? Why do you stop halfway? He said, I'm saying a Bible verse before I go up. I said, you're saying a Bible verse? I said, so when you just stopped there for a moment and then went up the rest of the way, what Bible verse did you say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Kid's 4 years old. Now, I'm not bragging on Daniel. I'm pro-Daniel. You know that. And I'm pro-Gracie. But you know what? You know, Paige is very important to us too, but we're not trying to brag about your grandkids. I'm just trying to show you that in a certain sense, kids at a very early age can learn stuff. I mean, he's learning Bible verses, and he's not even in kindergarten yet. And, you know, they learn songs, and they learn all sorts of things by being in environment that is Christian. It makes a big difference. There's another thing, too, that we need to remember, and that is the fact that a mother's faith not only helps in the whole process of kids coming to salvation, and also helps in showing for them a model of Christianity that they can follow. But on top of that, I want you to stop and think of what we mentioned earlier about some of these women whose kids came along and blessed whole nations. You know, that's really what happened with Timothy also. Timothy, with the help of his mother and grandmother, came to know the Lord and was further instructed in these things by the Apostle Paul. And yet what happened? He not only was instructed, but he became a companion in ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote two letters to him to encourage him, and yet we are still benefiting from those letters, you know, 2,000 years later. And on top of that, we know that Timothy himself preached in Berea. We know that he preached in Corinth and Macedonia, spreading the faith. We know that he preached in Ephesus and in Rome, spreading the faith. And it was through Timothy's story that Lois is still spreading the faith of the gospel to this day. She's still blessing people, even to this very day. It wasn't just that he had a godly grandmother and mother who did these things, but even now as we hear about the story of what they did, it's still a blessing to this day. 2,000 years later, people are still getting blessed by what they did. Entire cities, entire nations of the world have come to know the gospel because of the things that they were involved with. And you know, this is something that makes a great impact. There was a Christian mother whose influence was very powerful. She was a lady who lived in England, and she had 19 children. 19 children. Now, some of you folks come from big Dutch families. I know that. But can you imagine 19 children? You know what her name was? Susanna Wesley. Okay? She was the mother of, I've already told you this morning, their names, John and Charles Wesley. But you know what? One of the names that they call Susanna Wesley is this. They say that she was the mother of Methodism. Okay? The Methodist Church exists in large parts today because of what they did. Now you say, well, some of them are not as faithful as they once were. You listen, that's true with many churches and many denominations. I'm not trying to criticize their failures. I'm simply saying that look at all the things that accomplished and happened because of one woman and the children that she raised. She took every one of those kids. She had a time schedule to work with each one of them. As they got older, she incorporated in her schedule other things that she had to do. Each one needed help. And she even trained them, much like a teacher would, in the classroom at school. She taught them everything that she could teach them, including Christianity. Look at the outcome of this. The blessings are just unbelievable. And you know, that's what Paul did too. And that's what his Timothy's mother and grandmother did, Eunice and Lois. That's what they did. And you notice, it was from infancy that he knew what? The sacred scriptures. That's where the hope is. That's where the answer is. That's where the benefits are. You know, there's a lot of other things you can teach kids besides the scriptures, and many of them are good. Some people teach their kids how to be carpenters. Some people teach them how to be homemakers. Some teach them how to be secretaries. People can learn all sorts of things, and even from their parents. But the most important thing that they can learn is what? About Jesus Christ and how to live for Him. That's the most important thing. And you know, when you teach people the scriptures, look at what Paul tells us about those as we close out our message today. All scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable. Some people think that studying the Bible is not profitable. You know, what kind of money do you make out of that? Well, I want to tell you something. You might be surprised sometimes what has happened. Some of the greatest Christian businessmen in the world who are exceedingly wealthy and who have done great things for the cause of Jesus Christ found much of their inspiration from their continued study of the Word. But even apart from financial profitability, look at what he says here. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, that's the sin we talked about, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, you could also put there the woman of God, may be completely equipped for every good work. Everything a child needs to grow up and to be a good person, an honorable person, a respected citizen, a respected person in their community, a faithful person who works with integrity and with honesty, all the things that they need for living their lives to maximum benefit for themselves and for others as well. It comes through learning about the Word of God. Daniel Webster said, he was a great American statesman, if you don't know the name, but Daniel Webster said that it was the Word of God that is the most important thing that anybody can spend their time studying. They came to him one day and they said, Daniel, how come here you are a statesman living in Washington? How come you go to that conservative church over there where they preach that Bible, and why don't you just go to some of the big churches in town there that don't? I mean, why not be where, you know, your political influence could be more powerful? He said, I go to that little church out there where they preach about the Bible because of one thing. He said, when I go to the big churches sometimes, he said, they don't always preach that way. He said, they don't preach to Daniel Webster, the sinner. But he said, when I go to the church where the Bible's taught, he said, they preach to me about Daniel Webster, the sinner. And he says, and that's who I am. And that's the kind of preaching that I need. Wow. You imagine that we had people in our country at one time who thought that that was the most important thing that they could ever have. More important than a political career, more important than lots of money, more important than all the other stuff that people think are so important and so powerful. The Word of God is able to make a child wise unto every good work. And the best way to learn that, we thank God for Sunday school. We thank God for church services. We thank God for youth group. We thank God for organizations like Youth for Christ and a lot of other places like that who are involved in seeking to reach young people and to tell them about the Lord. We thank the Lord for all of that. But still, the most important things that people learn about this starts where? In the homes. And it starts there by having godly mothers that help to move this process forward. And so, if you are a Christian mom here this morning, we compliment you. If you're here this morning and you're a mom, we're glad that you're a mom. But you know what? We want you to be a Christian mom too. We want you to be committed to Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you're a grandma here, the same way. We want grandmas, yes, we're all for grandmas, but you know what? We want Christian grandmas too. We want people to be instructing the next generation. Remember what we said, the next generation is only one generation away from apostasy. It's the dependability of one generation to the next, holding high the torch that keeps this process going. And you know, when that happens, great things take place. Great blessings can happen because of godly families, and that includes godly grandmothers and godly mothers who help to make the difference. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, we realize that we all have great needs in this area because we're not always as committed to faith as we should be. We're not always as faithful to live out our faith as we should be. But Lord, we know that all these things are still true, that everything we've said here today is true, that we apologize for none of it, because we know that this is what the Word of God teaches. This is what we want. So, Lord God, for our failures, forgive us, inspire us to the right kind of living, that whether we be men or women today, fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, that we might be found, just like that song said that we sang earlier. May all who come behind be found faithful. May the fire of our devotion be something that affects the generation that is yet coming. Lord God, help us to be that kind of a person. In our time, in our generation, may we be found faithful. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.